Again, tonight we are privileged to be in the presence of Almighty God and to study His Word. Obviously, a blessing that many take for granted. A blessing that many misuse and abuse. When they could be here, they are not here. They have other things, obviously, they had rather be doing. I'm not talking about those who cannot be here. There are enough Christians in this area that during gospel meetings, the buildings ought to be filled. We ought to have standing room only crowds due to people hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm afraid it's true at home as well in West Virginia. We have several congregations, and we are so blessed to have so many congregations, and yet we are forgetting the privilege and not hungering and thirsting and not desiring to hear God's Word as we should. But I'm talking to you tonight. You are here, and I'm glad that you are here. Again, the song service has been uplifting, the wonderful prayer. It's good to have people pray that's prayed to God before. And it's obvious. It's like housework. It's obvious when you do, and it's obvious when you don't. So we need to pray to God and pray to God more. Our country's in trouble. And sometimes I begin to think that the church is in trouble. But I want us to follow a few days and a few footsteps along with the Apostle Paul tonight, beginning in Acts chapter 16. And our basic lesson will be in chapter 17, but our introduction will be in chapter 16, and it will be brief. We hit the highlights of chapter 16 as we run into a young preacher named Timothy. And you could tell me a lot about him. His mother and his grandmother. And how they had taught him from his youth in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Then we run into a wonderful lady called Lydia, the seller of purple. And we find two verses, I think about verses 14 and 15, that tell of her conversion. Then we run into a woman that is demon-possessed. And Paul heals her. And her two owners are not pleased with this, and so they put Paul and Silas in jail. And they are beaten. As Paul said in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And this is one of the times. As we move on further, the Philippian jailer obeys the gospel. You know that he's told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and many people say, we're driving a tent peg right there, and that's how all you have to do to be saved. How many of those people are going to wake up in judgment, having been duped by false teachers? Matthew 15, 14, Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. And I want you to see the courage that the Apostle Paul had, along with his companions, and Luke was with him here, and as he's making part of this journey, and in chapter 17 he's no longer with the apostle. But you think about hanging with the Apostle Paul and what courage it would take to be with this man and to do what he did and to preach what he preached. Though we're talking about Paul, we want to tell you what he preached. Paul said he preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when you read his writings, you do not see Paul, you see Jesus. And when you hear a preacher preaching today, that's what you ought to hear. And that's who you ought to see, is Jesus and not the preacher. But we come on down in chapter 17. And Paul leaves Philippi. And it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. I'm thinking, had I been writing this, that I would have told you how far it was between these cities. From Philippi to Amphipolis, it was 33 miles. From Amphipolis to Apollonia, it was another 37 miles. And then from Apollonia to Thessalonica was over 30 miles. How were they getting there? In an air-conditioned car? Mostly walking. And this is how the gospel was spread. And I began to wonder, why, Paul, you left Philippi and you went through Amphipolis and Apollonia, why didn't you stop there? Well, the verse tells you. If you look closely, he says, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. There were no synagogues in these other two cities. Paul was going to where the Jews were. He was going to where the enemies of Christ were. And if we're going to convert people, folks, we're going to have to go where they are. They are not coming here. They used to. Down in Kentucky, where I was brought up, we'd have gospel meetings sometimes 2 or 3 weeks. And we would have Methodists and Baptists and all kinds of denominational people. And the old grocery store, the gathering place for most of the farmers sometimes during the day. My granddad would take me there and we'd get two big crackers and put some either cheese or bologna, put it between them. Sometimes cut about that thick. We just got through eating. I'm not hungry yet, Jan. But I remember that. And then an RC Coca-Cola. And a moon pie for dessert. And they would talk about what the preacher preached about the night before. Got to be very interesting. Questions and answers. You had to know the book. You had to have the courage to go to the grocery store. Or to the Gorley store. That's who owned it. Members of the church owned it. And so began quite a few discussions about the Bible. And we began to convert some people. That's what I grew up cutting my teeth on. Seeing that kind of activity. Not only at my granddad's house when I stayed the summers with them, but also at my folks' home, where they continually invited people in to have Bible studies or would go to their homes and sit down with at their tables. And I pitied the Mormons and I pitied the Jehovah's Witnesses that came to our house. They left with their tail between their legs. And it wasn't because my mom and dad were cruel to them, it's because they did not have the truth. They did not have an honest heart. So I'm looking at a couple today that listened to the radio and heard the gospel and obeyed it. That's good to see and good to hear and good to know about, isn't it? Remember Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but what? The laborers are few. If we're going to convert, we're going to have to go. It doesn't say come into all the church buildings to the sinners. It says to the Christians, go into all the world. Well, we may not be able to go to Europe or Asia or Africa or wherever, but we can go to our neighbors. And we need to pray for boldness as the apostles did in Acts chapter 4. Pray for boldness. God, give me boldness. Give me the courage to speak. Pray for the knowledge and then study. Pray for knowledge as though everything depended upon God and then study as if everything depended upon you. Use our tracts and the racks in the back. You take them home. You study them. You put God's Word in your heart. People say, well, we get by perspiration what the apostles got by inspiration. But sometimes we don't want to spend the perspiration to get the knowledge of the Word of God. Is this the gospel of Christ or is it not? Is it the gospel of salvation or is it not? Is it the power of God or is it not? Is it the Word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, Ephesians 1 and verse 13, or is it not? Is it the word of His grace or not? We say that it is, and now we need to go to work. Let's see what the apostle did. We've seen his activity in chapter 16, and we could have gone on back farther. But he comes to the Thessalonica, where there's a synagogue of the Jews. Well, how did the Jews feel about it? Well, in verse 2 it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Maybe this is where we got our 3 Sunday meetings. Start on a Sunday, go to the next Sunday, and maybe end on the next Sunday. And sometimes those meetings, they weren't planned to be that long, but they said, we're doing so good, we're baptizing so many, why quit? And so they just kept on preaching. And a lot of those lessons were not on the home and family, but they were why what is wrong with the Methodist Church? What is wrong with the Baptist Church? What is wrong with the Catholic Church? And they didn't beat around the bush. They told it like it was. And those with honest and good hearts, everybody's not going to have that. Were there only 3,000 Jews in the city of Jerusalem in Acts 2? Obviously not. But 3,000 honest hearts obeyed the gospel that day. In John chapter 6, how many disciples turned away? The multitudes turned away from Jesus when his lesson got hard for them. So Paul, as his manner was, and you can go back in Acts chapter 9 right after his conversion in about verse 20, and you can see he ran into the preaching. Verse 3, here's what he preached. The King James says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Opening and alleging, proving and explaining, and that's what we need to be able to do. Somebody ask you why you do what you do? Well, we've always done it. Is that an answer? No, you need to be able to take your index finger, and you need to be able to take this book, as Andy Griffith would say right here, take this book and say, here's why. Here's why we do what we do. Here's why we don't do what you do. And a lot of times in Bible studies, well, it's the first thing that I'll try to do to get people to make this statement. Do we have to have Bible authority for everything we believe, teach, and practice? And they'll say, why, sure, that's a given. Hold them to that. When they began to make statements, well, this is this, and then, wait a minute, you have to have authority? Okay, would you please show me? Would you please show me? I'm not from Missouri. But you're going to have to show me. And you said when we sat down here that everything we believe, teach, and practice must have Bible authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Isn't it? So proving and explaining, opening and alleging that Christ, the Messiah, must needs have suffered. Is that what the Jews wanted? Oh, their Messiah wasn't going to die. No, sir. He was going to rule and reign like Saul and David and Solomon, and they were going to have the rule over the world like they did. That's what they wanted, and many people still want it today, our premillennial friends, which is 99% of the religious world today. But Paul preached that Jesus must suffer. He must die and be risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Messiah. Did the Jews believe that? Paul went where the Jews were and preached what they did not believe. Now, how are they going to like it? Let's see. And some of them, verse 4, believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Great. That's what we can do. You know, with our thinking today is, I'm not going to that Jewish synagogue. we might get killed. And you know they're not going to believe what we preach, so why preach it? Why go there? What if Paul had had that attitude? Would there have been a church at Thessalonica? Shake your head this way. They'd have bypassed. Paul wouldn't have found a place to preach. Well, there's no synagogue in Amphipolis and Apollonia, so why stop there? And there is a synagogue there in Thessalonica, but they won't believe what I'm going to preach, so why stop there? So let's just keep walking. Would anybody have been benefited? So verse 4, they're having a bang-up of success here. Multitudes. Multitudes. And of the chief women, not a few. And when the Bible says not a few, it means a whole bunch. But look at verse 5. What's it begin with? A negative. But, he says, verse 5, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. This is what you're going to do. You're going to upset some people. And that's what we fear sometimes. We fear upsetting somebody and making them, we don't want to make them mad at us. Jesus did. Peter did. Paul did. How many times do we read about them trying to kill Jesus and Paul? And how did the apostles die? Old age? No. Except for John. So these Jews look at the description of them, which believe not, moved with envy. Human nature has not changed. People will do the same today. They will move with envy when you begin to tear down their playhouse. And took unto them certain rude fellows of the baser sort. These are the religious people of the world then. And look who they drew toward them to destroy Paul and Silas and anybody that preached this way. So when you start making inroads into denominational playhouses, you're going to make friends and you're going to make enemies. Know that. They're not going to like it. And those that you convert will be your best personal workers. Sometimes we convert people and we make them like us. We just sit and do nothing. We are not active. We're not putting on the whole armor. You know, when I studied some subjects in school, you know what I said to myself? I'm never going to use this again. When am I ever going to use this? Really didn't make application to my life. Really didn't study hard. Any of you like that? And so sometimes we begin, why go to Bible class? I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about this. That's why some don't come. To them, ignorance is bliss. But you know better, don't you? That's why you're here. You're wanting to gain. You're wanting to know what God wants us to do. And here we have an example of one doing it. Oh, but he was an apostle. And I don't have to. Is that how we feel? Obviously it is. The end of verse 5, they couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they found Jason and they brought them out to the people. Verse 6, and when they had found them not, Paul and Silas, that is, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." That was a complaint about these men, but it was a compliment to them, wasn't it? Wouldn't it be great if people said about us, "They're turning the world upside down"? That is the religious world. Some of our false teaching religious friends are bolder than we. We have the truth, they don't. We have the weapons of righteousness and they don't. They are unarmed. We can't get them to debate us. When we debated a Baptist preacher about 10 years ago in Peyton City, the big Baptist church south of us in Peyton City put on their sign, "We have nothing to do with the debate." They boycotted us. They told everybody, "We are not going." And they didn't. And I wrote them and told them, "If I believed like you, I wouldn't go either. You cannot prove your doctrine in the Bible." I've written their preachers. Every preacher that they've had, they've had five or six preachers in the 14 years that we've been there. I've written every one of them and none of them have written back. None of them have answered my questions. One of them told his member that he's heard more about baptism in this city than he's heard all of his preaching life, and he left. He didn't stay but about a year. How would you like to have a cowardly preacher like that? Baptist preacher writes Keith and said, "We need to debate you over baptism." And Keith said, "I don't think so." You know what time it is? It's time to get a new preacher, isn't it? I tell you, we need to put the light on them, shine the light on them. They will back away. And what I do at home is I read the letters that I have written to these Baptist preachers. I don't want members to hear, "Oh, your preacher wrote a nasty letter to our preacher." I want them to hear what I've said and the questions that I've asked, so they'll say, "No, he didn't. We have a copy of it. I'll show it to you." be glad to show it to them. And they just got a new preacher, and I met him the other night at Bob Evans. And he's going to get a letter. You better believe it. Real friendly guy. But I tell you, that friendliness will turn. It will turn in a hurry. He won't speak to me anymore at Bob Evans. When you get to ask questions that you cannot answer, and I'm not talking about difficult questions. What he in Mark 16, did Jesus in verse 16, did he say would be saved? He that what? That's right. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now or not save us. Which is it? Now or not? It's now, isn't it? He'd like for it to say not. Simple questions. They refuse to answer. We need holy boldness. We need to put the fire to their feet. When they have, Methodists have meetings, we go to their meetings. One time they had two women lead in prayer. One woman led the singing. Doesn't have any men with enough knowledge to teach it or to pray. They won't have anything to do with this. And so they said here about Paul and Silas, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Some members of the church don't like it when we turn the heat up on their Baptist friends because their Baptist friends complain to them. Over the radio program, one of the members said, Brother Hafley, couldn't you preach on something, you know, a little bit lighter, you know? He said, I work with this fellow and he doesn't like it. Doesn't like what? Doesn't like it that you preach on things that about which we disagree. Now, if he had the truth, he would show you, but he can't. He doesn't have the truth. Paul went to these cities, to these synagogues, and showed these Jews by their own scriptures, proving and explaining, he says. And verse 2 says that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He said, look, here's what the Old Testament prophets prophesied. Read Psalm 22. Read Isaiah 53. Yes, sir, he is going to die. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This Savior, this Messiah is going to die. Our prophets are saying it. And that's why in verse 4, some consorted with Paul and Silas. But there are some whose hearts are so hardened they are not going to listen, no matter the amount of proof. And they're going to do everything that they can as they did in verses 5 and 6. Verse 7, whom Jason hath... How would you like to take the preacher in like that? Whom Jason has received. We've got some Jasons in here, don't we? Paul staying with you? Uh-oh. Paul, I'm afraid you all are going to have to leave. Would that be the reaction? Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar... Truth or lie? That's a lie. You're not breaking man's law. Paul preached against that, Romans 13. Breaking the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. They were right and they were wrong. Jesus is a king, yes. But what did he say to Pilate in John 18:36? My kingdom is what? Not of this world. If it were, then would my servants fight, but it is not from hence. And they said, oh, yes, it is. Just like the premillennials today say, yes, Jesus, when you come back, you're going to set up a kingdom on the earth. Oh, don't listen to this. Don't listen to the inspired preachers. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. They took bond of them. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Why'd they send Paul and Silas away? You know what these Jews wanted to do to them, don't you? It wasn't because they were running and hiding fear fearful of the gospel. The brethren were fearful for their lives. And so they go to Thessalonica. These were more noble, I think one version says eager, than those, or they went into Berea, into the synagogue there, and they went, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures monthly. Is that what that says? Yearly? No, daily. Whether those things were so. And when you get people that hear you preach, and you know, sometimes people go home and they're going to prove you wrong. And you know what they do? They learn the truth. Baptized a 17-year-old high school senior like that. She came to our Bible study. She was invited. She came and she said, "The reason I came is I was going to show you the truth." Because she said, "You were in error. Salvation by works." She thought we preached. Yes, by works of God. But she was all messed up with that. But she learned the truth and she obeyed the gospel. And that's what you'll have when you have people that will study the scriptures like they did. They receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And what does verse 12 begin with? Therefore. Because of what happened in verse 11, the result is in verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. What's that mean? Okay. Success at Berea. What's verse 13 begin with? The same thing that verse 5 began with. But when the Jews of Thessalonica... What? The Jews of Thessalonica, 60 miles they came to Berea. The Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. You know, sometimes you make people more religious in their own faith rather than in the truth. That's happened. We've talked to people, you know, church or that church, and I don't go very often, but you start talking to them, and rather than obeying the gospel, they become stronger in their faith, in their denomination. Sometimes that happens. But the Jews in Thessalonica saw and heard what was going on at Berea, and they didn't like it one bit. So they rushed down to Berea to put a stop to it, and they stirred up the people. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Remember the cowboy and Indian movies? Who did the cowboys try to kill when they were being surrounded? Shoot the chief. They thought when they killed Christ, they said, well, that'll be the end of that. Didn't they? But they went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't stop them. And the harder the enemy tried to stomp out Christianity, the more it grew. Do we need persecution today to make us grow? Maybe that's what we need. We're lackadaisical, we're lethargic, we're just going to have to admit it. So they sent Paul away again. And Silas and Timothy stayed. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus to come to him, with all speed they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, he stayed at the Holiday Inn and didn't do it. Is that what that says? Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. 30,000 idols. 10,000 people, 30,000 idols. Stirred him. Does it stir you to see these denominations as you drive by? Oh, how beautiful. You know what that would have done to Paul? All those people that go there are lost. It stirred him. Verse 17 begins with, therefore. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. And you know, that's all you Church of Christ people want to do. You ever heard that? Argue, argue, argue. You know, people tried that with Jesus. Read Matthew 21, 22. Then read the scolding that he gave the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, in chapter 23. Jesus debated, Paul debated, and our denominational friends refuse to today. Paul's heart was stirred, that's this thing in his head here, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him, anybody that came across him. Remember that story that I'm the little teapot, short and stout, tip me over and pour me out. You're full of the gospel. Somebody nudges you, jostles you, you're going to spill it on them. You won't walk around a Bible study. And by the way, when you go, go with the right attitude. Okay. I know the answer to this. I'm going to put him down. I'm going to embarrass him. You know, they'll be able to tell your attitude. They'll be able to tell that you're trying to hurt somebody rather than help somebody. Go with the right attitude and pray. Pray to God. God, help me in this study. That's all you have to say. Do it a lot. Do it before I get up to preach or to teach a Bible class. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. God help me. Paul came across some interesting people, verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics. You talk about opposite extreme people. The Epicureans were the playboys of the day. Had that philosophy of pleasure. And the Stoics were just the opposite. And some said, what will this babbler say? McGarvey says in his commentary that this word babbler means a barnyard bird. Not a chicken. But what do barnyard birds eat? And what's he going to spew out? What will this babbler say? If anybody ever calls you a babbler, it's not a compliment. Okay? And some other, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That had to be a God thing, didn't it? They thought. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus on Mars Hill, their highest court, and they wanted to know, they said, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And here was some new thing coming to town, and they wanted to hear about it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious, the King James says, or you're very religious. Well, look at all your idols. Very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions or your idols, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. This God that you, this unknown, is unknown to you, but not to me, Paul says. I'm declaring him unto you. You are ignorantly worshiping him. This God, verse 24, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Was that a put down to their idol gods? Because their idol gods dwelt in temples made with hands, not this one. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as these idols were. And I can see Paul pointing to these idols. As though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Their idols were gods over one thing. There were the gods of the clouds and the gods of the wind and the god of the rain and the god of the lightning, the gods of the waters and the gods of this, thousands of gods. They didn't want to miss one and make him unhappy. Paul said there's only one God. And he's not worshipped like you worship all of yours. And hath made of one race or one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Your idols, in other words. This unknown God I'm telling you about. You can't design him. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. What day is that? That day is going to be the day of judgment, isn't it? God's appointed the day. Jesus said, I don't know, but the Father does. The angels don't know. Nobody knows but God. And let me tell you this. When you hear somebody telling you, this is the year he's coming, you just mark it down. They don't know what they're talking about. I've heard it since I was a little boy. Oh, the Lord's coming. These are the last days. Our neighbors told us that we are the last days. And that's been 60 years ago, nearly. He was supposed to come in the 70s. The Jehovah's Witness that wrote the book, Millions Now Living, You'll Never Die, supposed to come before 1925. Missed it. William Miller in 1844 said, oh, the Lord's going to come. He sold people ascension robes. He missed it. So he said, oh, it wasn't 44, it's 45. Not 1844, it's 1845. I miscalculated. And they fell for it again. Some people climbed the mountains. Some got on top of their houses. Some climbed the trees. They wanted to be the first to see Jesus when he came through the clouds. He's appointed a day and a man who's going to judge us all. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. You know, you go someplace today, not necessarily preach the resurrection, but you preach baptism for the remission of sins, you're going to have people, you got to get dunked. I had a preacher in Peyton City say, can I come in and see your baptism? I said, sure. I said, why you want to do that? He said, I want to see all the sins in it. I backed away from that fella. Remember Nadab and Abihu? Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Get away from them. People making fun, mocking God, just as they mocked the Apostle Paul when he preached about the resurrection. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. A few days with the apostle, would you like to have followed him? It would have taken a little bit of holy boldness, wouldn't it, to walk the walk and talk the talk? I'm thinking once he left Thessalonica and went to Berea, I might have been pulling on his coattails and saying, Paul, I'm not going in there with you. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to say. But they went. And a church was started. Somebody said Paul either started a riot or a church or both. And we need to do the same. We need to do the same. Take our tracks. Go to... I want to tell you this for the right reason. We've gone to Baptist churches. We've gone to their meetings. We've been run out of their meetings. Human nature hasn't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. That story is longer than that, but I just want to tell you what happens, just like it did there in Acts 17. You go into their synagogues, you'll get to talk to some, and others won't like it. And they won't care what they say about you, what they do, just like these did in Acts 17. They hired certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. They'll lie against you. Keith and I have been talking about this. We cannot do anything. Our lives, and the reason for the lesson tomorrow night, is dressing the inner man. I cannot teach the lost if my life is a mess. I'm going to have to live a pure, clean life so they will hear. Okay? Do not give them ammunition to fire back at you, because they'll find out about it and they'll use it. And it'll hurt the church. Everybody must keep themselves pure. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. Don't be a hypocrite. Keep yourself pure. Do what the Lord would have you to do. And then you'll have the courage to preach it like they did. And the result will be what they had. You will gain some. You will lose some. You know that. You know that. But will it cause you to quit when you see somebody baptized? Well, that's the last one I'm going to do. No. You get one, you'll say, where's number two? Where? You will not be discouraged. Because here's a family sitting next to you. Maybe it's man. Maybe it's man and wife. Maybe it's a whole family. And maybe they'll go and they'll get others. And these empty seats, I tell you, during your gospel meeting, they will be here. They will be here. And they'll try to bring their friends and their neighbors. And you talk about excitement. You talk about excitement. And when you see somebody bring somebody that's not a member of the church, don't just take, well, they're probably a member from somebody else. You go meet them. You go greet them. You act like one day they may obey the gospel. Give them that welcome. And they may say, yes, I'm a member from somewhere else. But they also may say, I'm from a denomination. And it takes a lot of courage for them to come. Some of you know that, don't you? You know that's so. And don't just look at them like they've got leprosy. They wonder who that is. Go find out. Go find out who they are and welcome them. We're glad to have you. Tell them your name. Thank you for coming and hope you can come back. They get 12 or 9 of those warm welcomes like that. Wow. Well, that won't mean it. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Boy, these people are friendly. They were glad I was there. See what happens. See what happens. It will work if we work the plan. 2 days with the Apostle Paul. Exciting, isn't it? And that's just one chapter. Make it jump off the page at you when you see what he did and what he did, how it worked. We can do the same. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, Jesus said you are lost. Baptism puts you into Christ. Well, that isn't what I've always heard. Well, that may be true. It may not be what you've always heard, but it's in here. And when Jesus tells you to be born again, he means you are dead in your sins. And you are separated from God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2, by your sins. And you need reconciled unto God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The gospel of reconciliation. To hear his word, to believe it, as Paul preached that Jesus was the Christ, he was the Messiah. He's the one that had to die, be buried, and raised again to walk in newness of life, and so must we. As Romans 6 and 3 and 4 tell us, that we're buried with him in baptism, and thereby arising to walk in newness of life. That's how it happens. Then you are born again. Then you are a Christian. Won't you be a part of the body that can save yours? Won't you come forward now while we stand, while we sing?